folks, hello. John Mercer is joining me again. Chris can't make it today. We're talking about IT. We're talking about, from a CIO perspective, explaining to academics why we need to have certain infrastructure. Why it's not like what we do at home. We get internet or cable company or phone company to give us some kind of an internet signal, and we just plug in our computer and we wish it goes. Why we need to have the infrastructure that we have, why we need redundancies, therefore, how do we keep the equipment safe and secured, but also what it means for our data. So John, walk us through it. Baby step us through why an infrastructure at the college is different than what we do at home?
Sure. Yeah, it's a good question. So the main aspect of difference is going to be that the caliber and the class of gear that's run, being enterprise grade to handle volumes of traffic and security features that just don't come into play as being relevant in a home environment. Similar concepts, right? It's just that once you go into a larger environment and you apply scale and security factors, now you have to have more capable tools. And then that starts to move, you know, where the decimal point is. So from the classroom, connecting back to network closets, and ideally, you know, the end result for everything we're doing, not just, just technology-wide, is we're obviously trying to deliver a good experience to the customer, to the student. And so part of that is having reliability and resiliency in all of the technology experience. And, you know, everybody sees it now as a utility. We just expect it to work like when you flip the light switch or plug something into an outlet, and, you know, the expectations are high. So, you know, most of the time you're trying to design in redundancies and resiliencies to still provide the good experience if there's a little turbulence with the technology gods. So when you get back to your network closets, you're trying to have redundancy back to the heart of your network, both from a cabling perspective as well as a power perspective, if you can. In any of these areas where we talk about resiliencies and redundancies, you can play the redundancy game forever. There's a lot of different layers all the way to the path of the internet, and you can almost always come up with some sort of a perfect storm of a failure that, even if you're really well prepared, you can get into that 0.001% chance where a scenario happens and it disrupts you. But you generally try and tackle your redundancies at the layers of most likelihood. So, perfect world, you try and have closets with breakers coming from or different, you know, your gear running on different breakers, different battery backups. So then in the event any single thing fails, it doesn't take everything down. I think, as you had alluded to in the design, we always have to factor in appropriate types of cables and cable lengths that are going to carry the amount, the volume of data that we want at the speed we want and at the distance we want. And so in our technology world, there's also sorts of different flavors of copper and fiber based cables. We just got to make sure that we spec the right flavor based upon what the requirements are, not only what we're building for today, but for down the road. And that principle just keeps going on from a networking perspective, all the way to the internet. And even though it seems like a simple concept to have redundancies, in reality, as complex as our networks are, it isn't easy to do. So
let's touch on it. You and I are part of a team that's designing a new facility here on the campus that the two of us work on. Yep. And one of the things I've noticed you talk about with the electrical and AV and IT designers is that redundancy, but also the resilience. You talked about power generation. You talked about UPS. Well, why do you need UPS if you have a generator? You talked about having different trenches to run fiber optic getting into the building versus the electrical. Well, let me tell you, I look at it as a taxpayer. What on earth? Now we're going to be digging two trenches, which means we're going to be paying more and conduits and whatnot. And I, you know, please understand, because it's, I'm an ignoramus in that world. It appears like money perhaps not well spent, but I'm sure you're not coming to it from that perspective. You have a rationale thought process for all of those things.
Yeah, 100%. And especially, I mean, when you're building a facility, the cost of adding a lot of that stuff is, I don't want to say insignificant, but it's certainly more effective and efficient to do it at the time of building than after the structure is there and try and add it later. I mean, the cost just goes up at an increasing rate. So yeah, to your point, I mean, from a power perspective, ideally, we almost look at everything, whether it's power or data, kind of from an A side and a B side, where we want either one to be able to fail and have all of your services withstand that. It's a similar principle that, I mean, that the larger, the larger data centers, deal with, we just try to apply the same concept at a local level. They just do it to an nth degree. Sometimes they'll add in a third or a fourth flavor of supply, you know, from different power companies if they can, different internet service providers, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you had asked about, why one, let's say, needs UPSs and the generator factor. If campuses and buildings are fortunate to have generator back power, right, to keep you going, if the power company goes out for whatever reason, a storm happens, et cetera, the generator is gonna allow you to continue your operations. But the one aspect that most folks, I think, don't recognize is that generator typically takes a little while to spin up online and synchronize to actually provide power to whatever outlets in the building are covered. And so in order for your stuff, if you don't have any battery in the middle, then when you have the power outage, all of your gear is going to go down until that generator kicks on, ramps up and synchronizes and starts providing power again. So within your environment, any of your stuff that's important to not go down when the power goes out, you got to have a battery as your little safety net to keep you until your generator has a chance. So...
And it's interesting because very few of us think that our facilities as schools and colleges, in the case of a natural disaster, are places where people come and congregate. No different than what happened in the football stadium down in New Orleans during...
Yeah, in Louisiana, sure, yeah.
Yes, during Katrina and whatnot. So our facilities are not just for our everyday classroom, but it's also a command center for first responders. It's also potentially a field hospital, yep, or potentially a place where people come in and can be saved. So is that something that goes through your mind as you're designing?
Yeah, 100%. It's like you said, a lot of times colleges, universities, I mean, they don't just serve the immediate audience that's obvious, but they really are hubs for the community and the region, right? If there's going to be challenging times that happen, because the facilities are so broad and so spacious and capable. So it all goes back to, wanting those kind of technology services to function as a utility where it's gonna function even in the worst of times, right? And at scale when you have a lot of load. So I know our institution is one of those shelter locations. And even if it isn't in mass outage situations, right, we were partnered with the State Guard to assist with COVID vaccine delivery, right? So there can be a lot of different situations where the community or the region kind of asks you to serve as a resource, separate from just your daily classes that you're holding.
Well, folks, we don't necessarily think about it, but a college isn't just a classroom, couple of chairs and a couple of tables and a chalkboard. College is a whole infrastructure that allows us to teach with the more modern tools of education to try to reach the audience however they'd like to be taught in from wherever they'd like to be taught. That takes design, that takes money, that takes people to keep an eye on things, to keep safe, but also the security and the, not novelty, but the up-to-dateness of equipment requires an infrastructure. It requires people like John Mercer, who's a CIO and who is a wonderful ally of us in instruction. Thank you, folks, for joining us on Let's Talk Ed. In the third segment of this particular installment, John and I are going to be talking a bit more about, we're going to go from the tools and equipment to something that many colleges are seeing more and more of, portals where, you know, you've got an app and everything is gone, you know, you can go through. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Ed. John Mercer, thank you again. You can find us wherever you get your podcast. And as always, like, share, subscribe, pass the word on, and smash that bell. Thank you.